This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Christian perspective on the news does not necessarily reflect the opinions of Radio K Pulpit or the on-air presenter, but is the independent viewpoint of the individual contributor. Please send an email to info@kpulpit.co.za should you have any further inquiries.
Christian perspective on the news.
Mike Bernard visits with us on a Monday morning, and we're grateful to have him back. He's a journalist, also an analytical strategist, helping us get our heads around things. I feel like I need to get my head around some things, so he's just the man for the job. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Brad, and good morning to the listeners.
I just want to say, I know sport is like not the be-all and end-all of our lives at all, and it shouldn't be, but it makes us feel weird. But I don't know what happened to the Stormers. They thought, let's just give our young guns a run against a team that's not doing very well, and it ended up in this a bit of embarrassment. And I watched that Bulls game, and man, that was looked like something might happen, but it wasn't to be.
Oh my goodness, Brad, what a a black sporting day for South African rugby. I mean, I watched the Bulls game, and I thought, well, at least the Storms game are coming up, you know, we can have hope in that things will improve. And then it went even downhill from there. So yeah, not a good weekend.
So I think I would just put that behind me and move on to the things of life, maybe that really matter. And I'm struggling to get my head around what's happening in Iran. Thank you. Also, I know on the third way you also wrote something about that. But this morning's news talking about more deaths in these protests. Yeah. And President Donald Trump, who wants to pop his head up there again and say, I want to step in here as well, which I know rubs a lot of people up the wrong way. Can you help us understand exactly what's going on? We know that there's a cost of living and people are struggling, and this has started the protests, but I'm sure something else is fueling it too.
Yeah, let me just say, you know, Mr. Trump's interest in Iran is oil. After Venezuela, it's oil. So there's no compassion from him about the people. You can rest assured about that. Because in his own country, you know, the ICE brigade is just arresting people left and right and shot a lady dead and shot two other people. So there's no concern really about the people. It's oil. And it's about energy security. But let me just start, Brad, by saying and saying something about the human factor about Iran. We've traveled to Iran a number of times. I've met some church leaders there, obviously in secret, and it's one of the most beautiful people on planet Earth. I just want to get one thing out of the way that, you know, we follow this narrative, and we are given this narrative that Iranians are radical extremists, terrorists. They're not. They're lovely, warm, welcoming, and deeply, deeply generous people. So I just want people to understand that when we talk about Iran, we talk about lovely people, beautiful people that have the hope that their situation will change. Mm. It's a country of 92 million people. It's important to understand that Iran is the headquarters for Shia Islam, while Saudi Arabia, the headquarters for Sunni Islam. So within the two sects within Islam, you find Iran being the headquarters, and that's where the Ayatollah Khamenei rules. Mm. So what we found, first of all, I believe there's a choking point. So the Iranian people were literally suffocating to death under extremely harsh economic situation due to the sanctions. The currency dropped 40%, the economy collapsed, and in the midst of that was an incredibly difficult drought. Then came the political repression, the isolation. Sure. Countries, you know, through the sanctions. We've got the religious suffocation. So you are a Shia Muslim, and that's how it is. If you convert to Christianity, you can get the death penalty. You will be imprisoned. We know of a number of Christians that's imprisoned at the moment. So it's just the suffocation of the people, slowly being strangled to death. And when you get to a choking point, there's got to be a tipping point. Mm. And this happened on the 28th of December when people started protesting in the streets. First of all, about the economy, it started off in a shopkeeper's bazaar in Tehran. And then slowly but surely, the protests started expanding, and it became a protest against the leadership, which is unheard of in Iran. And at the moment, you know, it's at about 285 locations in Iran, people are protesting. We've already had 42 plus fatalities, 2,000 people injured. So obviously the government is clamping down. But in the midst, I believe, and this to me is really important, Brad, if you get a choking point leading to a tipping point, is if redemption can penetrate the tipping point, then we will see a turning point. And I think this is what we are all praying for, that the turning point will be spiritually. And in this regard, Brad, it's critically important to understand the religious landscape in Iran. According to Gaman, which is the group for analyzing and measuring attitudes in Iran, it's a research company, and they've done a research amongst about 5,000 Iranians. The research finds that at the moment, only 40% of Iranians still identify as devout Muslims in Iran. So there's a real turn towards secularity. 32% say they are nuns. In other words, they have no religion, and 8% identify as atheists. But conversions to Christianity, Iran is the country in the world at the moment where more people are coming to know Christ than any other country in the world.
Wow.
So it's very difficult to know exactly, because it's an underground church. It's a secret church. So we don't know exactly how many Christians there are. But according to estimates and to leaders in Iran giving estimates, we are estimating, or guesstimating, I should say, about 2 million converts in the underground church in Iran at the moment. So what we're finding is that there's a tremendous spiritual movement in Iran. And this obviously have the backlash as well. So what we are praying at the moment, a lot of people say we need to pray for a change of regime. I say, no. Let's pray for a redemption of regime. Uh-huh. Let's pray that people in leadership will come to know. This is our mandate. I don't know why we lose our mandate so easily, Brad. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. He did not come to change the Roman regime. He came to seek and save the lost. Our mandate as Christians, for our own government, for Iran, for Venezuela, for America, is not that there will be a change of regime, but a redemption of regime, that people will come to know Christ. This is what we pray. This is what we wish. This is what we seek. So when we pray for Iran, let's pray that there will be a heart change of leadership. One of my best friends is Daniel Shahista, one of the founder members of Hezbollah in Iran. Now, when you talk to this guy, when he stands up in a church, he will tell you, I had one purpose in life, and that was to kill Christians. And then I found Christ. And when you meet this guy, you know that nobody in this world is beyond redemption. Christ can save anybody. Let's pray this for Iran as well.
Wow. Thanks, Mike, for giving us a bit of an understanding. I know we only have 2 minutes, but where to from here? I mean, you're saying the government is clamping down. I know it's maybe impossible to know, but what do you think is going to happen? Will this just, are they just waiting to clamp down hard enough till it fizzles out and everybody must just get back to life as usual?
Well, if we look at the past, if we look at history, we see the government is just going to keep on clamping down and making it worse and worse and worse. But if we have hope in Christ, then we know things can change. And maybe this is a wake-up call for the leadership in Iran. Maybe they need to understand that it's going to happen again and again and again and more frequently, and that they will have to do something. So let us pray that there will be a change of heart from the top. It's impossible to know exactly what's going to happen. If we look at the past, we can sort of make predictions. But if we believe in Christ, we can look at different assumptions. And we believe God will intervene. We pray for the church. This is a glorious opportunity for the church in Iran to start reaching out to people who are completely hopeless. So if we pray for the church in Iran, beautiful, beautiful, strong, vibrant church. Let's pray that they will use this opportunity to reach out. And let's pray that people will come to know Christ in a very, very real and dynamic way.
We really do live in interesting times. I mean, if you think about the stuff you and I speak about every week, sometimes we get stuck in a big theme and carries on. And suddenly we're seeing all of these things happening. It feels, I don't know, it feels kind of exciting in a way, as these little pockets of change and things that are erupting. It almost makes us excited to see what's going to happen in the rest of the year.
An amazing season to be alive in. An amazing season. Even in our own country, Brad, it's an amazing season. We are light. Light is not scared of darkness. Light looks at its best when it is dark. So let's shine.
Love that. Mike Bernard, have yourself a blessed day. We love hanging out with you on a Monday morning. Take care. Enjoy the cooler weather today, and we'll catch up again soon.
Absolutely. For the listeners as well, have a glorious week. Thank you, Brad. Bye-bye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.